Welcome back to Table Talk. Be careful as you set that full cup of brimming hot coffee back on the table. Have a seat. We continue on in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 21. So we have Jesus who enters into Jerusalem. He cleanses the temple, and then out he goes. He returns. He goes to Bethany for the night. And then in the morning, he's going to return. And here we have, beginning at verse 18, in the morning, as he was returning to the city, he became hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the wayside, he went to it and found nothing on it but only leaves. And he said to it, "May no fruit ever come from you again." And the fig tree withered at once. When the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, "How did the fig tree wither at once?" And Jesus answered them, "Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, 'Be taken up and thrown into the sea,' it will happen. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive it if you have faith."
Well, this is nothing but Jesus indicting his people who will not believe in him. And he's been trying to lead you and I and all of us to repentance. And when you will not repent, when you resist the work of the Holy Spirit to repent you, to die to your sin and believe in Jesus as for salvation as the Savior, then here comes the indictment. So that the cursing of the fig tree is an object lesson of what's happening right in the midst of our Lord's ministry.
Remember, this comes on the heels of he the day before he enters into the temple and he's hungry, but he finds no fruit there either. That is, he does not find faith.
Yeah.
When the Son of Man comes on earth, will he find faith?
And that's the crucial question. And of course, speaking in general with the majority of the people that he's dealing with, especially the authorities, the answer is no. Thus, the cursing of the fig tree.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you don't want to believe in me, all right, you won't. And that's why may no fruit ever come from you again. This is this again fits with what we've been trying to teach. Studying Matthew's gospel, as we've observed our Lord's ministry with people who reject his words and his service of mercy and meekness,
mm-hmm.
they are already condemned. And John, in his gospel, picks this up all the time. Like in John 3, you believe in me, you have eternal life. You don't, you're already condemned.
Already.
Even before the last day comes. Why? Because he's right there in your midst. And he didn't leave when he ascended. He's still with us, you see. And so the Lord's ministry, through word and sacrament, continues, if you will, going after sinners to lead them to repentance. That's why the world continues, by the way. You know, people always ask, why doesn't Jesus come on the last day and end it all? Well, the answer, for the sake of our repentance.
Right.
That's the whole point. He's very patient in that regard. And that's what he's doing here. He's being very patient with these people. They've asked for sign after sign after sign. An evil and adulterous generation only asks for signs. So I'll give you one. It's the sign of Jonah. I'll be buried for 3 days in the earth, and then I'll rise from the dead. That's the sign that you'll get. Trust that.
And better a fig tree than you. Yeah. Learn from this sign.
Yes, thank you for saying that. Thank you for saying that. And notice the high pastoral care, then, that Jesus gives these people by doing this. So say again what you just said. Better
the fig tree than you.
Amen. Amen. So then, verse 23. Oh, I want to make a comment on verse 22.
Okay.
Whatever you ask in prayer, you receive if you have faith. Remember, Jesus in the New Testament constantly says what? As you believe, so you have.
Right.
That's what this is all about here. Okay?
Think of the prayers that we've had just in the previous context there. You know, the cries, Lord, have mercy. Hosanna, Lord, save now. This all centers on faith, doesn't it? As you believe, so you have.
That's what Jesus is going for here. So, you know, when John the Baptist preaches repent for the king, and Jesus preaches repent, and then you've got the, you know, everybody that Jesus sends out, repent. What's the height or the heart of repentance? It's faith.
Right. Bear the fruit of repentance. Trust in me all the more.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, this is kind of like, you know, when Jesus encounters that rich young ruler who says, you know, well, I've kept the commandments. Jesus says, well, I'll take you to the first commandment. Let's see if you can do that one. Trust me, I'll take care of you even if you don't have anything. And he goes away sad because he had a false god.
The one thing he does not have.
And this
is the one thing needed.
That's what's happening here again. Jesus is saying to us and to Israel, look, trust in me. I am Emmanuel. I have come to save you. Trust me. And when people become indignant to this message of who he is and what he's come to do, well, better the fig tree than you. So learn from this.
Right.
Well, it doesn't stop. His authority gets challenged all the more. And he enters the temple. This is verse 23. The elders and the chief priests, they come up to Jesus as he's teaching, and they say, by what authority? And that word's big at the end of Matthew's gospel, you remember, Matthew 28. By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?
He's been exercising his authority over other people's donkeys, over the temple and the sacrificial system, even over nature, over fig trees.
Yeah, walking on the water, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Raising the dead. Exercising his authority to save sinners from damnation.
Having mercy.
that's precisely the point. But, you know, by what authority do you do this, and who gave it to you? Notice the answer that Jesus says. I'll also ask you a question, and if you tell me the answer, then I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, from where did it come? From heaven or from man? And they discussed it among themselves and said, you know, if we say that John's authority is from heaven, he'll say to us, then why didn't you believe in him? But if we say from man, we're afraid of the crowd, for they all hold that John was a prophet. And so they answered Jesus, we don't know. And then he says to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things.
I'm such a toddler, if you will. Because my first reaction when I hear these words is, oh, man, I wish I was as quick as Jesus. I wish I had comebacks like that. I wish I could. but it's beautiful, isn't it? It is not faith crying out for mercy. It is those who are indignant and rebuking and really are challenging him.
Right.
And he won't give in to that. He won't feed that. That needs to be put to death.
So he exposed them. He exposed their unbelief.
Right.
They weren't about asking, as you just mentioned, they weren't about asking him a faith question. It's about, we're going to catch you. We're going to trap you again so that we can eliminate you.
Right.
And it's out of the mouth of babes again. and the ones who should know better don't. That's the sad thing. This again, we learn then what it means to be, you know, a Christian as well in the world today, because Christians are looked upon. The followers of Jesus are looked upon just like they looked upon Jesus. You people have a mental problem, and we need to get rid of you. By what authority do you say such a thing that these people's sins are forgiven, Pastor? By what authority do you say that these people have eternal life? Come on.
And one of the other things, by what authority do you say this is a sin, and I'm a sinner?
Yeah. Yeah. You've got that right. And so we learn, don't we? We learn what Jesus did when he said earlier in Matthew's gospel, you want to be a follower of me, then you need to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. Now Jesus is going to continue.
I was just going to say, you know, they rejected John the Baptist and his preaching of repentance. When he was the fulfillment, you know, this is Elijah who was to come. But they didn't believe that either. And they didn't believe his message. And so now also with Jesus, you know, and who is this Jesus? Well, the same indignant, the same resistance and rejecting. Well, he's not going to play their little reindeer games.
And the point is that he wants to lead them to repentance. This is the whole point. Like we talked earlier about the fig tree. So repent, folks. And now Jesus is going to tell three stories, if you will, three parables, if you will, to once again woo these sinners to repent of their sins, to turn from their sin, and believe that he truly is Emmanuel, who's come to save them from their sins. And that picks us up where? Verse 28, right?
Correct.
What do you think? A man had two sons.
I'll ask some questions now.
That's exactly right. Because he has all authority.
Right.
As we know from Matthew 28, a man has two sons, and he went to the first and said, son, go and work in the vineyard today. And he answered, I will not. But afterward, he changed his mind and went. He repented, if you will. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
30. And he went to the other son and said to the same. And he answered, I go, sir, but did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? And they said, the first. Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterward change your minds and believe in him. Again, the whole point is, be like the first son and repent and do the will of my father, which is believe in me. Right?
Absolutely.
Okay. I hope I got that right.
Well, I think it's funny when Jesus asked them the question, and we can't answer, we'll be trapped. So then he just turns around and he asks another question, and they answer it, and they answer it correctly. And yet it traps them. It hopefully, it is meant to wither them.
Yeah, to kill them.
Yes. So that they might, what was the language there in that last verse? Change your mind and believe him. Repent.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. So you've got the parable of two sons, then you've got a parable of tenants, and then you've got a parable of a marriage feast, I think, that follows
right.
that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I guess so in these three parables, and we've looked at one, Jesus, what he does here is he spreads out before the people of Israel all the riches that God has given them and still offers them. And by God's grace, they are still sons, if you will, God's trusted tenant workmen and God's invited guests. So Jesus, what he does by telling these three parables, he is inviting them to give God, to use the language of the parables, sons' obedience, the fruits of the vineyard, you know, that the tenants owe the owner, and to come to the marriage feast of the king without delay whatsoever, without any excuses, and dressed in the festive garment of obedience to his word, or faith, if you will, mm-hmm. All right? And so Jesus, by doing this, he's wooing them. He's trying to get them to repent, you see. And if they will not learn the seriousness of the hour, namely that Messiah's here, salvation's here, if they won't learn from his kindness, then they'll have to learn it the hard way from his wrath. And that wrath, of course, cuts off all hope forever.
And as you've said before, too, not just a future judgment, a present judgment of both wrath and also ransom.
Yeah. So that was the parable of two sons. Now the parable of tenants. You want to read that for us?
Hear another parable. There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a wine press in it and built a tower and leased it to tenants. And then he went into another country. When the season for fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. And the tenants took his servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did the same to them. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, they will respect my son. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance. And they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. When, therefore, the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? And they said to him, he will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their season.
See, that's like King David when he's confronted by Samuel. You're the man. That's what Jesus has just done. You're the ones, okay? And so again, I want to repeat. We'll pick this up the next time we talk. These are parables of trying to lead these people to repentance. You are sons. You are tenants. You are invited to the marriage feast. Trust me. If you don't, oh my.
Yeah, these parables. He gets them to say what they absolutely refuse to say, to speak the truth. But now will they believe it, that it applies to them, that they are the ones who have beaten and rejected? Will they repent and believe in Christ for the forgiveness of all their sins? Have a blessed week, folks.